All right, we are here. Welcome. Well, it's time for a full body tune-up. Every week we like to juice you up. This week it's a tune-up. Now what that means is that, like if you're going to have a tune-up in the car, you're going to clean off your spark plugs or replace them or something, you want to clean the gunk out, right? So that there is a pure channel for transmission of energy. You want to make sure that your tires are good. You want to make sure, you know, if you want to do a full checkup, you want to make sure everything works. The transmission is good. There's plenty of oil. Everything is set. All the systems go. In your body, you also want to have all systems go. You want to have good transmissions. You want to get rid of the gunk so the flow can flow. Now, for you, you have a bit more complexity, of course, than a machine. You have a physical body. You have an emotional body. You have a mental body, and you have a psychic spiritual body. Four bodies. They are essentially one layered upon the other. You know, your physical body is the only one that, quote-unquote, takes up space. So the others coexist with it in that space. Those who can see auras very often will see the emotional aura. Psychics generally tend to see more of the emotional aura. You can see things like people's faces, names, all sorts of experiences, markers of the historical markers, timings of their life. They're found in the emotional body. The mental body holds beliefs and constructs, and you can see limitations, and we can see it in a sense in people, kind of like seeing boxes around them, and we go and investigate and find a limiting belief. The physical body we can see in basics of energy movement. Now, the energy aura around the physical body will show where organs are stressed. They will have darkness. There will be different kinds of colors, densities, and energy flow. A good, healthy physical aura will have all the chakras lit up with beautiful, vibrant colors, spinning nicely, balanced and harmonious. It will have lots of color all around the aura. We have seen a tremendous lack of color in most people's auras in the recent times. It seems that with the recession, there is a lot of lack of imagination, a loss of creative juice, an enthusiasm that has waned. When you're enthusiastic, when you're creative, when you're imaginative, you have plenty of color, and it's moving and swirling all over the place. Wonderful movement, flow. But when you don't have those, your aura can be very peaceful. You can be clean of all the things of your past. But if you don't have some good juice, some creative juice, some imaginative juice, some passion, some enthusiasm at least, your aura is going to be kind of gentle, perhaps pastel shades, or subtle grays, but stagnant. We've seen a lot of auras that don't move at this time. So one of the things that can be done to assist you in your life to create marvelous new things that you might want, to rev up your interest in life and your enthusiasm for things, you can go two ways. One, you can, by choice, take your power and step into a choice to be enthusiastic, a choice to be passionate. But you can also work it in slowly by going through the reverse way, by working in your energy field, your own energy field. We're going to take you through a process that you can actually do at home, or you can simply have the MP3 file and listen to it whenever you wish, to juice you up, to energize you, to get your physical body energies moving, to get your emotional body's energies moving, to get your mental body energies moving freely. Your spiritual body generally will hold certain aspects of your destiny, of your purposes, of your missions. But generally, the spiritual body doesn't get messed up. It's the one that's connected to who you really are. It's the one that stays plugged into the divine. So generally, that's your reference point. You want to get the physical, emotional, and mental body to vibrate and resonate and flow in harmony with your spiritual body. So this little meditation we're going to send you on and take you through will take you through that process of physical, emotional, mental rejuvenation to align with, to link with, to harmonize with your spiritual self. And when that happens, you then are able much more easily in your physical life, in your mundane life, to align yourself with that which you desire to do, with opportunities that are good for you. Doors can open for you, magic can happen for you with greater ease than before. It is a time of great change, and so there's lots of blocks. And for some people, instead of being blockages which show up in their mental and emotional bodies and then trickle down into the physical body, they are in the void, with is the nothing, and without knowing what to imagine, without knowing what to dream, can get stuck there and just float, not going forward, not going backwards, just kind of floating. This doesn't work either. It is a time to honor who you are, indeed. But when you're honoring who you are, when you are aware of your beingness and aware of your awareness, then it's that your energies are moving. Even though you're in a void, your energies will be moving beautifully. The void is not a place to be static. It's not a place for your aura to be static. It's a place, essentially, for you to focus on who you are, to defocus from the distractions outside of you, so that your external world does not impinge upon and control your internal one. We have spoken with several dear ones recently who are in financial troubles, who are in legal troubles, who are dealing with all sorts of lawsuits and unresolved stuff with real estate, etc., etc., etc. And when you have these kinds of situations, you have to learn how to stay in peace and harmony within yourself, in your beingness. And when you can do that, and you don't spend all your time giving your power away or fretting or worrying about the issues that are besetting you in your external world, you'll find that your external world will resolve itself much more easily. So let us be about looking at your energy fields. Let us play with you. Before we do so, we'd like to open it for questions. If you have any questions, feel free to ask on this topic or any other topic. And before we go into our process.
Hi, Galexis.
Hello.
For years, I have had a problem that links my sinuses with my ears. And I have lost part of the hearing in my left ear because of it. And I just can't seem to get a handle on, I know it's like, I think the ears are in fifth chakra. The eyes seem like they would be in sixth. And, of course, there's what do I not want to see, what do I not want to hear. But if you could give me some hints on where to work on this, it'd be great.
All right. Did you ever see, you know, animals that, like mules, where they put the blinders on them? Mm-hmm. There'll be these kind of, to keep them from being distracted from what's around them on the sides?
Yes.
Well, we would say, Jace, that a great deal of what's gone on with you, with your eyes and your ears together, and your sinuses, and so on, was that you essentially put these blinders on yourself. Now, it's not like just flaps, okay? What you did is that you did a compression with it. You felt you had to do it really, really well, and you had to really focus, and you really had to work hard and stay on track. And so, in a sense, you pressured yourself, and you basically pressured yourself from outside in on your face. Structurally speaking, what has happened, it creates a certain amount of collapse inside your cranium. Mm. And so there's tremendous compression that the angles of the sinuses, the compression of the ears, they're so compressed in there, you're not getting drainage. You don't get drainage from the sinuses, you don't get drainage from the ears that well. Okay?
Yeah.
And so when you don't get drainage from the ears, then they just plug up, and it's kind of like your hearing is like, you know, you get tinnitus, it feels like you're going underwater, that kind of thing, and you can lose some hearing. Now, when we look at your hearing, we can see that this compression was really heavy. You made a lot of compression. So there's a couple of things that you can do. First of all, yeah, there's stuff you don't want to see. And then there's stuff that you don't want to say. There is fifth chakra stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a sense of not being aware of your own true will, but feeling pressured and demanded upon to do duty and obligation.
Yes.
You know, you had a very well-developed slave driver, right? And while you've dismantled some of it, it's not completely gone, mm-hmm. right? But that slave driver you installed in your head to keep yourself on focus, so that you wouldn't wander off and be too creative or something. Or play. Oh, no, not for you. No play for you, right? You must stay on track. You must push. You must stay, push, push, stay, push. And this applied not only, dear one, to your mundane life and to family obligations and so forth, or even to work, but also applied to your spiritual life as well. You felt that you had to keep working at yourself and improving yourself and fixing yourself. You understand?
Yes.
Okay, that's at the root of it. Okay. Now, you can do a lot of healing there, and you know what to do. You would basically fire the slave driver again, but okay. For the last time, hopefully, on that particular issue. Even if you've gotten rid of a lot of the mundane slave driver, the one at work and so on and so on, your spiritual slave driver is still there making you feel guilty that you haven't done enough spiritual work. You haven't fixed yourself good enough, okay?
Yep.
So you want to get rid of that, okay? Because it's like, it just makes your life too narrow. It just narrows your life, okay? And you want your life to broaden, particularly mm-hmm. at this particular time on the planet for you and for the great shift that's going on. You want to be really freer. So on a physical level, you can undo a lot of this damage, including some of your hearing issue.
Okay.
But you do need to get cranial work. And specifically, you need to get the only cranial work we know that can open this cranium up, that can open these bones up, that can open up your sinuses, can get them tilted and positioned correctly, that get your cranial bones uncompressed. And that's neurocranial restructuring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the only one we know. Now, there may be others, but we don't know of any others. But this is what we would recommend for you on the external, in the physical, to free your structure. You can always work from any direction. If you have a health problem, you work from working on the physical, or you can work on the spiritual. And it's actually great to work on both.
Yeah.
So when we look at your physical body, we can see the compression, and its stuff is stuck. It's like the lymph is stuck in there and so on, and it's just jammed up. When we look on the emotional level, we can see that clenching of the jaw and pushing yourself into your duty obligation track and going as fast and as furious as you can, right? Mm-hmm. And when we look at your mental body, we see a tremendous amount of fear that you, if you don't do that, something horrible will happen.
Yep.
Okay? So you've got this kind of, you've got this dagger, you know, hanging over you. Why did they call it the sword of Damocles? You know, is that any moment this sword will come down and pierce you in two. It's like this threat that hangs over you, hangs over you. Oh my gosh. Okay, and you run faster and faster to get away from me. And so you don't want to actually play that game anymore. That's a rather destructive kind of game. It dates from your 20s, of course. Mm-hmm. That's when you kind of really set it in motion, even though you are ready and set for it by adolescence. You waited until about 26, 27 before you really started, you know, just wrapping yourself up in your armoring and strapping yourself into your, you know, into your slavery, so to speak. So we would suggest that you can approach it those two ways.
Okay, thank you.
All right. There is a third way, and you came to the evening in which we discussed the miraculous.
Yes.
You know, and so you can always offer it up to the miraculous. If you have like a recording of that evening, you can always go back through the recording and, you know,
okay,
let yourself open to a miracle. Right. Now, sometimes miracles create such a huge change in your life that you're absolutely, totally flummoxed and flabbergasted and totally disoriented. And if that should happen, sometimes you may panic because you have found a lot of comfort and familiarity in this narrowness, in this kind of tunnel you've been putting yourself on.
Yes.
So you would feel maybe very panicky, very anxious, very unsettled, really nervous, uncomfortable. But recognize if you do feel that, and occasionally you have gone through some changes, and then you will feel that way. You know what we're talking about, right?
Yes.
Know that when you're feeling that way, the object here, the way to get yourself through that, through a great change, is to remember who you are, and secondly, connect with your future in some way. Some vision you have, some desire you have, something that you want to move towards that is beautiful for you. Not a goal that you must achieve or something that you must always stay on top of and be vigilant about. Okay?
Okay.
All right. You got it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Who's next?
Hi, Galexis. I would like to know about some gastrointestinal stuff that I have had chronically for a long time. And I am starting to see, like, I'm going to see a specialist for it, and I'm going to go to an acupuncturist, hopefully get some of that.
What kind of symptoms do you have?
It's just chronic constipation.
Mm-hmm.
And no, you know, nothing like in the upper area, food-wise or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
No indigestion, nothing like that.
Right.
The
lower you get, the worse it gets, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
And I did, in my 20s and 30s, I had the upper stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pretty severely. And I figured out how to heal that, did that. This one, I do healing work with my, you know, root chakra. And I do heal the first three, a lot mm-hmm. of healing work there. I also just came out of the symptoms of fibromyalgia. So my, what do you call it, my energy level and my, I can't think of the word right now, but fatigue is starting to lift. I healed my knees. I wasn't able to walk for almost 2 years without limping. I got that taken. So I got a lot of good stuff going on. I'm
yeah,
really happy.
Yeah, congratulations on that. Yeah,
thank you. And I'm pretty healthy in many regards. I got some relationship issues going on, and I'm wondering if it's attached to that.
Yeah. But you know, this is something of long standing.
Okay.
And it's something that you've been chipping away at, right? Now, what we do see here is that in times past, you didn't have that great of a diet.
Like how recent past?
Oh, no, we're talking about past. We're talking about, you know, 15 years and earlier.
Okay.
And in a sense, some of that stuff got really kind of irritating of your intestines and got stuck in there, and you really did have some parasite stuff. It looks also that you may have traveled somewhere. Did you travel anywhere out of the country like 15, 20 years ago or something?
Yes, I went to Poland, and I also used to go scuba diving in Mexico.
Oh, that's in a sense where you got it really aggravated. These are foreigners in there.
Okay.
You know, and they got in there, and they kind of, you know, fought with the natives, so to speak.
Yeah.
Okay? It wasn't really a pleasant relationship, okay? And in a sense, there are whole sections of your intestines now that are littered with the debris from battle and has not been really cleaned out, has not been flushed out, because you're having a kind of, there's like a low life or a sluggish life count in your small intestines. Okay, and you can get colonics and do enemas and things like that. That can kind of help your colon. But what happened is that because there was a great period of time when stuff didn't come out, there's some distension in there. And so stuff gets kind of backed up. And that's what's going on. All right? Now, one of the ways to counteract this, and undoubtedly you've done it when you worked with your gastro part of it, was when you took probiotics and, you know, acidophilus and all that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you still take that, right?
No.
All right. Well, then you need to start taking that again. And you also need to do some nice detoxing, some kind of... And what do you take for, you know, to get rid of the constipation?
I have something I take every day. It's Dr. Schultz, and it's an intestinal...
Intestinal formula number one.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that'll blast the heck out of it.
And also have done his whole detox, you know.
Right.
5-7 days, whatever it is.
And using the intestinal formula number two and everything like
uh-huh.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hmm. And I'm willing to even to do that again. It's been probably 8-9 months since I've done
it. Right. You probably ought to do one of those about every 6 months at this point.
Okay.
All right. But what we want to point out here is that it's been in there since you took some trips. It looks like it started about, that it really got going about 2 or 3 months after you'd come back. Mm. That it would kind of, it's not like you would be desperately ill, you know, wherever you were and whatever. What did they call it? Montezuma's Revenge? No, but we'd suggest start taking some probiotics on a regular basis again.
One healer told me that I had fungus.
You do. You have a lot of candida in there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, there's a lot of dead stuff in there.
Yeah.
And the candida is something that's an opportunistic organism. And when there's dead stuff in there, it's very acidic. And so the candida comes in there and feeds.
Mm.
But the candida also creates a greater acidity in the environment. So no matter what your diet, no matter how alkalinizing your diet is,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to turn that around.
Well, that's where I finally concluded that this isn't going to be one of those things that I can figure it out. That's why maybe I need to go take it to the next level, see someone, an herbalist, nutritionist.
Well, actually, it's really essentially you need to clean it out. We'd recommend colonics.
Okay.
All right. And we'd recommend that you go check out this guy that we've, you know, that the channel and Daniel see.
Okay.
Get his number.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
And go and he will show you on the screen what you got in there.
Oh, okay. Lovely.
It's Hollywood.
Yay.
He's got two screens with a microscope face, you know, focused on the exit tube. And he'll show you the parasites, the worms, the everything. It's kind of an education for yourself.
So kind of like I need to wear my dog, I need to wear me.
That's right. Right, because you've got some gunky stuff in there.
Okay.
All right, but it's not from recent diet and not from recent work you've done. You've been doing really good work.
Thank you.
All right, But but this is old stuff, okay?
Right.
Now, with that old stuff, also look at that time of your life and see what you were having going on at that time in your relationship mm-hmm. situations. Mm-hmm. How did you relate to other people? And that's not necessarily in a love relationship, but in every kind of relationship, okay? That there is a part of you that didn't really you knew that you needed boundaries, but somehow you had difficulty with them. You know what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, that somehow or another you couldn't seem to get comfortable with a give and take, and you sometimes would be angry because you felt like you were giving too much or you were being taken from too much. And other times, you know, you would feel need and you would try to attach, and that didn't work either.
Nope.
So we would suggest that that's the emotional trigger for it. All right?
Yeah.
The mental aspect of it, looking at your mental body, is that you didn't, at the time, you didn't feel that if you were to speak your truth and be totally clear about who you were, that you could even, you know, sustain a relationship.
Right.
It seemed like it was an either or kind of proposition. And so what you're looking at now, at this time in your life, is integrating it all so that you have your boundaries, that you're in a flow of giving and receiving, because you have enough now, you're beginning to get enough energy that you can actually give without depletion.
Right.
And so you're entering on this new era. So
and it's pretty awesome. And
it is.
You're right.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful. So you just want to get rid of some old gunk.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds
now we'll
good.
Get rid of it psychically, energetically, you know, today, you know, right now, in a few minutes. Right? So
hallelujah.
yeah. So recognize that you can get rid of a lot of the emotional, the mental, and you can align with the spiritual. And you can also take some of that gray, sluggish, dark energy of the physical body and let it go too. And then the body can open up to faster healing.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Anyone else? My. All right. No one else?
No.
All right. So, hand
it. All
right.
Okay, Galexis, hi.
Hello.
And there's this thing that whenever I start to really go forward and feel open up and to feel really good about myself, there's this physical thing that happens to me, and I start going into a physical self-loathing and a physical self-destruction, and also it always starts in the mental. And then it starts going in a spiral. And I used to be really suicidal, and for a year now, I haven't been. Although,
Robert.
I'm still, right. I'm still, although, what's happening is that I get into a deep down, and naturally it affects me physically. And then now I won't go as far as I used to, and then I bring myself back up and out of it. And I wondered if you had some info on that and how I can incorporate tonight's healing with that.
All right. What is exactly is physical loathing? Is that hating your body?
Yes, it is.
All
and
right.
It's a kind of a withdrawing of my energy into myself, and it's a stopping of my eating, the nourishing.
You don't
yes.
eat. You stop eating. You don't feel hungry or anything like that. Just kind of.
When it gets really bad,
shut your body down.
Right. When it gets really bad, I will not eat at all. I mean, I'm not even hungry. But now I'm pretty much in a routine. I'm doing really well with incorporating eating in my life every day and exercising and et cetera. So those are all the good things. And then I'm doing those good things. And then there's this trigger that happens. It starts, and I'm not quite sure where it starts. And then it starts going spiraling down, 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 down. And then I'm going, whoa,
and when it's spiraling, what emotions are you feeling?
That's what I'm feeling, self-loathing. I'm not good enough, that I've not done enough spiritual work, that I'm never going to make it, that I'm in my physical world, my financial stuff, I keep doing more and more to expand it, and I don't see it on this plane, and so therefore I think I'm not doing good enough on it. There's a lot of driving there.
That's the spiritual slave driver.
Yes.
Right. The one that, you know, it's not like you had, you know, enough slave driver in your just daily life. You had to apply it to your whole spiritual path, too. You know, all right. So yeah, you do need to break that and bust out of that. And the way you do that is getting in your power. See, what you in the past did was basically give your power away to this judgment. Right now, that judgment initially came from outside of you, or you assumed it did. You know, it came from maybe family, or maybe from peers, or something. Or you got rejected by somebody you really cared about. So you had initial events that made you feel that others were seeing you as less than, as unworthy or unlovable or not valuable. But when you did certain things, there were certain things that you did you felt guilty about. And that reinforced it and said they must be right. So you went into shame. And this is the way shame plays out. Just as you're ready to step into your light, the shame comes up and says, it's a subconscious mind which tries to make everything consistent. If you left it up to your subconscious mind to run the show, they would never let you change. You would never grow. You would never be more than you were. You would always be stuck at wherever it was that you gave your power away to it, right? So the subconscious comes up and it says, wait a minute, this is not consistent. And don't you want to be consistent? That's the familiar. That's the safe. That's the old way. Don't you want to do the old way? Here. Have some shame. And it will bring shame into your life. It will bring some trigger into your life. Your challenge is going to be mainly in the mental emotional. Your trigger here is for you to be able to experience the trigger. And if you notice, sometimes you've actually experienced a trigger and not plunged down to where you used to go, right?
That's right.
Yay. So what you want to recognize is that you're making progress. The whole idea is that you plunge down and your bottom is shallower than what it used to be. Because you used to go into total self-denial, shutdown, destructive energies, and you basically be ready to exit.
Yes.
Right? And then somehow or another, you'd get a little glimmer of hope, and you'd feel like, well, I really don't want to off myself. And, you know, and you just kind of like, yeah, okay. And you kind of drag yourself back. Right? Or some kind of event would happen that would kind of inspire you to keep going. And then you kind of work your way back up. This is an old mythology. There's a personal mythology that you have to go down all the way down to the bottom before you can turn around and go up. This is a mythology. This is not real. It's just what you think needs to be done.
Right.
And if you notice, the whole planet is in this right now. This is the black, dark chaos. This is everything dismantling. A lot of people feel they have to go down to the very bottom and just kind of wipe their past out before they can even move forward. So in a sense, you're playing with a great myth that's part of the consensus and your own personal myth. Okay? It's not real. It was a choice. But we would like to say, too, is that it is in your family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah. We were going to say that, too. It's like grandparents and great-grandparents. We can see it going back up. There's all sorts of stuff in your family. Right?
Can you get rid of it?
Oh, yeah. You can get rid of stuff, family stuff.
No, I'm not
kidding you. Well, we'll add it in tonight.
Okay.
Okay. It was not what we had originally intended is to add that in, but why not? Because it sticks you in your beliefs. It sticks you in your... in your mythologies, in your structures, in your mental body. So it'll be something we will do some releases of in the mental body. However, the effect of it is often felt in your emotional body.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of instability in ancestry. There was a lot of stress. There was some huge, huge, oh, just disturbing changes in your ancestry, in your family history. And just like any huge changes, people don't respond too well to it if they don't have the resources. And so so some of that imprint has come down, that you have to go into the depth of despair before everything can turn around. And it's your choice not to go there, okay? But you're noticing that you're making that choice sooner and sooner.
Yes.
Okay, so the trigger comes, the idea is that the trigger comes, you're going to identify it as just the trigger. And go, oh, the trigger. Oh, some shame. Oh, some self-loathing. An opportunity for self-loathing. All right? See if you can make it kind of funny. Mm-hmm. You can go stand in front of the mirror. Oh, do I suck? Do I totally, totally suck? Oh, my gosh, I have such an opportunity here to loathe myself. Here, let me just really get into it. Loathe, loathe, loathe. And play it in front of a mirror till you start laughing at it. In other words, take the power out of it.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Because the mythology is what puts the power in it. And you took the mythology, you gave your power to it. You see?
Okay, and do I say things like your famous statement of, I take my power back, I want my power back, I want
power returned to me.
Power returned to me.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. But what you want to first do is show the craziness of what's going on.
Yes, it is crazy.
Because it's absolutely ridiculous that you get a trigger and then you're going to spiral down.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? You know, are you just some kind of clown? You know, are you some kind of total stupid nincompoop idiot? No, you're not. Even though you can think of yourself that way, and as an automatic knee-jerk reaction, okay, it pushes the button. Oh, I must be just, oh, gosh, I'm back there again. Oh, I haven't made any progress. Oh, poor me. Oh, dear, I hate myself. Oh, you know, and if you take that seriously, you don't see the absolute ridiculous humor in it. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And if you see the humor in it, can you stay in it? No.
Mm-mm.
No, you're free. You can bust right out, right?
Yes.
You see? So just make up stuff and get in the front of the mirror. The mirror is so wonderful as a technique. If you get it really funny, and then you imagine that you sing about it like opera, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, I have such loathing. Right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And imagine that you have a chorus of clowns in the back, you know, doing doo-wop, 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 ba-bop, doo-wop, doo-wop. You know?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do something, but break the state.
Yeah.
Right? Or if you're out somewhere, you can't really get to a mirror and spend some time doing this. You're out in the public, and so on. They just go and clap, clap around yourself like that. Break the energy that way. Do you notice when you clap that it breaks the energy?
Yes.
You have all this energy go out. Clap. Oh, huh? State break. That's right. You can go anywhere from there.
Mm-hmm.
See, once you break it. But that's the object, you know. Get a trigger, break it. Mm. All right? Then you don't spiral.
Yes.
You don't even go there. Then you start laughing at it and say, there it is again. And then you can look at this sneaky subconscious or, let's say, negative ego and say, there you are again, teasing and taunting me. No, 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 no. You're not going to get away with it this time. You see?
Mm-hmm. I could do that. Thanks.
We know you can do that. You can be a great actress, right? And after a while, it'll be fun, and so you will not fear it. See, what you have is a fear.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, what if the trigger happens? Oh my gosh, what if it comes? Oh my gosh, oh dear, I've got to be looking out, I've got to protect myself, I've got to hide, I've got to, you know. And then you've given your power away for it, and then when it comes, you're already prepared to go spiraling down.
Yes.
So
I'm already prepared.
You're already prepared, you know, and so you're just waiting and waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, when you do this, if you do this 2, maybe 3 times, you'll find that you're not afraid of the shoe to drop. Mm. You feel safe.
That's a miracle in itself.
You can trust that when it comes up, you can deal with it. You have confidence. And then you go, whew. What a relief, because a lot of your energy field is engaged, you might say, in being vigilant and looking for it, trying to see, well, can I run fast enough to get away from it if I see it coming, you know? So I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to scan. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? You're peering like the, you know, way, way over the mountain, looking where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Right? Now, you know, if you do that long enough, guess what? You're going to find it. Mm-hmm. Right? So your energy field's doing that. Okay? This is something that you picked up generationally, actually. There's some self-loathing in the family, right? And it came because of a great trauma. It was a big cultural trauma. It wasn't like a personal trauma, mm-hmm. but it was like your people. People suffered. And there's a lot of trauma. And in a sense, that's a stamp. You see, it's like the descendants of Jews that actually spent time in the concentration camps.
Yes.
And they still can carry some of that trauma in there. And they never, ever seem to feel safe, even though they have never been to Germany. They have no personal relationship to concentration camps at all. They just never feel quite safe. It comes down through the family that way. Seven generations will affect you, your DNA, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when you bust this, you're busting for you, but you're also, on a spiritual level, freeing all your seven generations back. It's a great gift. And that's part of what you as individuals are doing as first waivers going in this great shift that are looking to be on your spiritual path and to find the new template. You're healing not just you, but you're healing the consensus. You're healing your ancestry. You're healing down deep. You're healing DNA. You understand?
I do. And so when I do Diksha, or when I just do, you know, with Galexis, I'm clearing back my seven generations. Do I really need to know what I'm healing? I'm just saying I'm healing trauma for all my seven generations. I'm healing all the karma. I'm healing all the trauma, something.
Well, no, when you heal your trauma,
yeah,
basically then in a spiritual moment you can say, I ask for healing for seven generations back.
Mm.
Now for those with children, you can say it for the next seven generations, because you're clearing it for the future too if you have children.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right?
But basically what you're doing is you're clearing it for the culture now. You're clearing it for everyone on the planet now. Because you see, you know, what do they call that? The 100th monkey kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's which is not really fully accurate, but the idea is that if there's enough people who heal, then there's a template out there on the ethers that people can pick up and start healing, and people will start healing faster and faster. And if you notice the way you're healing now, how much faster it is than what it possibly could have been some years ago.
Right. It's right? Like it's exponential.
Yes. Exactly.
It takes a few minutes to where I would be in therapy for months.
Right. Exactly. And you want to understand, too, is that your ancestry and the people in your ancestry who had to go through this type of thing, there was no therapy for them at all. They spent their lives there. After the trauma, they were there the rest of their life. Always. And there are people on the planet now, and you can see these people, by the way they even hold their body, who are in total shame and pain and trauma. And even if their lives don't look traumatic, they're carrying it so strongly that their bodies are like, you know, energetically crippled. You can kind of sense it. You know what we're saying?
Yes.
Right? And sometimes when you look in the mirror, if you catch yourself, you'll find yourself carrying some of that too. And so you can, you know, straighten up and stand with pride and dignity and confidence and reclaim yourself.
Thank you.
All right. So you don't have to go down there.
Yes.
That you can close the door on that one.
That's the good news.
That's the good news, right. And there's no bad news.
No. That's
right. And that's good news.
Right.
All right. All right. Do we have any other questions, or is this pretty much it?
Pretty much it.
All right. So, very good.